Welcome to the Social Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Andreas Jadzidzoglu from Newcastle University. He recently published an article entitled Business in the Backwaters, How Distance from the Core Impacts Entrepreneurs' Lived Experience. It co-authored this paper with Thierry Vollery, James Cunningham, Antoine Mouchou, and Carmine Bianchi. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor & Francis. Andreas, welcome to our podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
Well, originally, we, as often happens in qualitative research, were interviewing entrepreneurs about something else. Actually, we were interested in their more general experiences, and when we looked at data in early interviews, we realized that a theme coming up from the data sets in Newcastle upon Tyne in the UK, in the northeast of the UK, and in Perth in Western Australia, was this issue of distance from a core. So in Newcastle, being distant from London, or in the case of Perth, being distant from Melbourne and being distant from Sydney, seemed to play a part in the experiences of the entrepreneurs in those two places. So we decided on the basis of those findings to design a study around distance from the core. And we're pleased we did, because it was very interesting. And as a result of that, we also then interviewed entrepreneurs in Palermo in Sicily, because we had access to some data from there sort of serendipitously. So why we decided to do this was basically data driven. And then we realized that we had access to entrepreneurs living in three places, in three geographies, three urban geographies, so not rural geographies, urban geographies, that are distant from core ones in their country. So in Italy, that would be Milan, and interestingly, in that data, London, although it's not in Italy, was mentioned as the core. And upon reviewing literature, we realized that while there's some lively discussions about the experiences of entrepreneurs in peripheral ecosystems, there wasn't really anything about this question of distance specifically. So we saw that as a research gap. Now, some geographers, urban geographers, had talked about distance, but less so in the entrepreneurship literature. So really it was data driven and then theoretically driven. And we, on the basis of that, conducted interviews, got data, and we're able to frame that data in a way which managed to get us in the journal, thanks to the editor and the reviewers and the participants who we interviewed.
What are the main contributions of your paper?
I suppose there's three or four. One is adding distance from the core as an analytical theme in ecosystem analysis. Two is a sort of, although we were doing a phenomenological study, so comparisons between the data sets wasn't of primary importance to us. A lot of the literature to date, which looks at peripheral ecosystems, looks at it in one nation, so just in Ireland, for example, where one study occurs. But we had three data sets, so we had a level of international, although it wasn't that important to phenomenological analysis, we had a level of that. We also, a neat sort of feature of the study was discussing peripherality in more detail and coming up with maybe more nuanced conceptualization of what peripherality means. So we added distance to the core from that, but affirmed things in existing findings like a lack of resources in these places. But of course, the ecosystems, although they're distant from cores, have degrees of peripherality in them. I mean, Perth has much more of the sort of financial and human capital and resources that you'd associate with a dominant peripheral ecosystem, a dominant ecosystem than Newcastle and Palermo. Another thing we did, which I think is important, is from a policy perspective, we emphasize the need to really listen to the voices of entrepreneurs in peripheral spaces and come up with policies that are mindful of the particular needs and wants of people in those spaces. This is distinct from and opposed to coming up with more generic policies and a sort of one size fits all to policy implementation. Another thing that we discovered in the literature is that Silicon Valley and other big urban metropolis, urban sort of epicenters of business are seen as the epitome of what an ecosystem should be like. And a lot of policy is about trying to replicate the conditions that exist in those ecosystems and lesser ones. And we really challenged that idea, as others have pointed out, of course, and suggested a more ground-up approach to policy implementation. So there was we believe there's a number of contributions and important ones that emerged from the study intellectually and practically in terms of policy implementation.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
Yeah, well, we were lucky because at Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, we were lucky in the sense that we had excellent reviewers, I have to say, and in particular reviewers who are, I don't know if sympathetic is the right word, but who are aware of the power of a phenomenological approach to studying entrepreneurship and dimensions of entrepreneurship. So phenomenology is about taking the first person points of views of people about their lived experiences. And as others have pointed out, such as Cope, it's a powerful methodology in phenomenology, but it's an underutilized one. And there is perhaps a level of stigma towards it, particularly from the sort of, dare I say, sort of big, sexy American journals, you know, who like their quants and likes that data rather than looking at the subjective experiences of people. So to answer your question, one potential problem we had was convincing people of phenomenological's ability to shed light on this and more widely other aspects of entrepreneurship. But thankfully, we had reviewers who are not only aware of phenomenology, but who have clearly worked in it and were able to emphasize to us the credibility of the approach and help us understand the approach as well and just how rich our data is. And from that data, the process of taking that data and using it to intuitively, inductively inform grounded theory was potentially a problem, and it was certainly a challenge, but one we overcame largely through luck of the review process, I would say. Some of the challenges we faced was the size of the data set. Normally, phenomenological research is centered on a small number of interviewees. We had a large number of interviewees. We had 10 in Newcastle alone. We had, I think it was 15 in Perth, and we had another 10 over in Italy. So we had so much data. And thankfully, because we had quite a large team, the authors were able to, manage that data and were able to extrapolate all of the richness from it. But that was certainly something that was quite difficult to agree on as a team. Well, what's going on here? You know, because we don't want to generalize from this data, but what's going on here at a case level, but also at a national level in relation to each ecosystem, and then collectively so that we can say something about distance from the core. So they were definitely challenges. But ones you'd expect, and ones in a way which reassured us that we were doing our jobs as social scientists and trying to come up with findings rooted in the data. So yeah, I hope that explains that question.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise, or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
My biggest surprise, and also probably one that gave me optimism, was in the cases of Newcastle and Perth, not Palermo, because the interviews from Palermo were quite negative about their ecosystem. But in Newcastle and Perth, what surprised us was the extent to which entrepreneurs in those ecosystems have overcome barriers, the level of agency, in other words, that those entrepreneurs have displayed in the shorter terms, but also historically, in order to overcome the structural level constraints of their ecosystems, which was interesting and showed us just how innovative and sort of how pioneering entrepreneurs can be in the spaces that they're in, going back to the old Giddens structure agency interplay. The other thing, I don't know if it was counterintuitive or not, but was how fond a lot of the entrepreneurs are of the ecosystems they live in Perth and Newcastle especially. There was a real sense of like, we're in this space and we are distinct and we are far away from where the action happens, but we love it. And we love our customers and we love our local network. There was real solidarity in those communities. And I don't think any of us maybe expected that level of affinity to the ecosystems. While barriers certainly existed because of distance, firstly, they'd found ways to overcome them. And secondly, they'd often, in their minds at least, phenomenologically repositioned what might be constraints into advantages.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, policymakers, or practitioners in general?
Well, I think that's a quite hard one to answer. I think the first thing to say is that if you are an entrepreneur in an ecosystem like the ones we've studied, which is distant from the core, you can definitely grow your business. You definitely can, but you will face constraints. And realistically speaking, there's probably a point where you will have to move to a core, or at least open an office in a core, if you want to experience a certain level of growth. Another thing is linked with that. Some of the entrepreneurs we spoke to mentioned how advantageous it could be to start up a business in a peripheral ecosystem like the ones we've studied, because it allows you to test the market and it also allows you to make mistakes in ways that you might not be able to in a core. For example, you can make a mistake and it might not be punished in terms of reputational loss, status loss, to the extent it might be in a core. So it's complex, and qualitatively, there's not a simple answer, but you shouldn't discredit the idea of starting up or doing business in a backwater, if you will, ecosystem, because there are advantages to it. But we should definitely see entrepreneurship as a journey, and we should see geography as part of that journey. So you might start in one geography and move on to another. And again, what I said before about policy, I think our work speaks to policy in a way which is important. And building on that, it would be good to have local entrepreneurs perhaps engage with policymakers and perhaps inform policy implementation decisions on the basis of their experiences.
Thanks a lot, Andreas, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Business in the Backwaters, How Distance from the Cores Impacts Entrepreneurs' Lived Experiences. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship.cad.com and the main podcast platforms.